Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offer, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
This week on Bucko Banner, we review the Reds and Rays series and see what's happening down on the farm. Cue the music.
Rockin' 101, shit, she compliment my taste. Whiskey in my lemonade, cause I like the way it tastes. Best seats at the Pirates, and they let me run the base. Yeah, my time is like my money, cause I can't afford to waste. Wifey is a lawyer, take my date to my dates. Order steak by the plates, and then case after case. Run my race at my pace, clear the grass of the snakes.
Adam, welcome back. We were at the ballpark all week, and I feel like it was the hottest week ever at PNC Park. And I think I'm ready for a little bit of a break.
I do not do well in the sun, man.
Yeah.
We both got a lot of color here. It
was a scorcher this weekend.
It really was. It just got hotter and hotter. Saturday was unbelievable. It was unlike anything else, really. We literally didn't make it through the game. I'll admit that. It just got to the point where we didn't have a seat. We're usually hopping around. There was a lot of people there, and we just finished it at home because it was brutal.
Yeah, we both looked at each other, and we were like, are you thinking what I'm thinking? And we just knew right away, like, yeah, let's just go finish watching the game at my place. So we didn't get through it, but we did have a really good time at the North Shore 9 tailgate, so I figured we'd talk about that a little bit. Got to meet pretty much everybody, Jim, DiNardo, Cody, Ryan, Tyler. Really good time meeting all those guys. Had some Primanti sandwiches and talked ball with them. Really good time.
Yeah, that kind of contributed to us leaving early on Saturday because we were out there with them at noon.
Yeah.
So just a recipe for disaster, but totally worth it. Really enjoyed getting to know those guys over the weekend. All things considered, it was a decent week of baseball, right? Things were looking up. They took a series from the division rival Reds, and then you had every opportunity to take a series against the Rays, and you didn't. And we're going to get into that, Scott, but it's kind of grinding my gears a little bit. We're not doing bummed out this week, but I'm a little bummed out. And I know you are too, because we had another bullpen game, and then you line up Jones and Skeens, and then you can't take a series.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that, man? Because we left today's game where Skeens had an incredible outing, as always, and scored one run.
I looked at this game as like a almost for sure win. I hate to say that because nothing's guaranteed, but like going in facing Savali, who's really been struggling this year. He's a guy that's a candidate to be cut from this Rays rotation when Shane Boz comes back, when some other guys come back from their rehab stints. And we couldn't put together. It was really discouraging. Something needs to change. Something really needs to change. We're halfway through the season almost. And I think doing the same thing over and over again is the definition of insanity. This offense is clearly not good enough to compete, but you've got a stellar rotation and you've got an unbelievable opportunity in front of you to compete for a playoff in a very mid National League.
Very, very mid-National League. And they came out with this week. Noah Hyles reported it. This team wants to win now. They're going to make moves, yada, yada, yada. We kind of hear the same bullshit every single year, right? But there was a little extra hope in this. I mean, because we know we have some key pieces. You got Skeens. You got Jones. The rotation looks great. Keller. And then you put out that type of lineup in a rubber match with the bottom of what? Taylor, Sawinski, Grandal, Triolo. Yeah. We talk about taking series and trying to stack wins, and I get guys need days off, but my God, man.
Yeah. It's unacceptable. Like it's a game. You can't afford to throw away a game. And this is a game that you need to take advantage of. This is a game you should win. You can't just say, oh, Skeens is on the mountain, so we can put in, give rest for a few guys. That's unacceptable. And I think a lot of people are on the hot seat right now in the Pirates organization. Specifically, you know, we can sit here and argue about some of Shelton's in-game decisions. But specifically Ben, the decisions lie with you, and it's obviously time to make a change, right? We can't afford to wait much longer. It could slip out of our hands very quickly. And you can't waste any years of Jones or Skeens. It is unacceptable.
Yeah. We talked about it with Jim Stamm at the park a little bit. There's not going to be many sellers this year because there's a lot of teams that think they can compete this year. There's a lot of teams on the fringe, just like the Pirates, that are hovering around mediocrity. They got some pieces, but the longer you wait, the harder it's going to get. And I know they don't want to clear house with prospects. They like hoarding those guys down in the farm. But a move needs to be made to improve this lineup because you can't, well, one, aside from throwing out a bullpen game every 5 days, which I think is coming to an end this week with Perez possibly coming back. But you can't put out your worst lineup every other 3 days and just say, oh, it's because, you know, this guy needs a break or this guy needs a rest or, you know, we're playing some matchups. We need a solidified lineup. You can move that around a little bit for matchups, of course, but it can't, again, you can't have a Michael A. Taylor, a Jack Sawinski, a Jared Triolo.
Yeah.
Yasmani Grandal back to back to back to back. Yeah. That's unserious baseball.
Yeah. Agreed. It's frustrating, man. It's very frustrating. And, you know, we've got some series this week coming up that it's not going to be an easy week. We're going on the road. It's never easy on the road. We've got some tough opponents. And, you know, these winnable games are slipping away. You can't let any, I know it's a marathon, not a sprint, but you can't let any of them slip away like this, at least this much of them.
Yeah, I agree. Let's recap it, Scott. Before we do, Dalton Jeffries got recalled from AAA this week and they optioned Justin Brewer to Indianapolis, and that ended the rehab of Alika Williams. And then the Pirates optioned him to AAA. And then our guy, Charles McAdoo, who we have been huge fans of, he's been minor league player of the week, and he's been a candidate multiple times, was promoted to Altoona along with left-handed pitcher Jaden Woods. McAdoo right away hit a home run in one of his first at bat in Altoona. Well, when you're hot, man.
Hit another one today, by the way.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm sure we'll talk about it more when we're down on the farm a little bit, but
will help this offense. Why like wait on Charles McAdoo?
Why not at this point, man? I'm willing to throw whatever shit will stick, and let's see if it gets the job done. But Charles McAdoo is killing it. I'm glad to see him in Altoona. That'll probably be the final destination for him this season. But
I'd say so.
You keep hitting like that, you're going to force some hands. And then I'll mention this briefly before we get into it. Famously known Pittsburgh business, Sheets, is now on all of the Pirates jerseys.
Whoa. Famously owned Pittsburgh business?
Well, yeah, that's how it was rolled out, right, Scott? It's a Pittsburgh-based business. Everybody
in talk Pittsburgh- to me when there's a Sheets in the city limits of Pittsburgh, then we'll talk.
Listen, I'm just going with what the team said. This is a Pittsburgh-owned business. Families wake up in the morning. The first place they go is Sheets. They travel 30 to 40 minutes outside the city, but they love Sheets that much where they're just like, you know what? It doesn't have to be in the city limits. We're going to drive before we take little Timmy to school at 8 a.m. We're going to wake up at 6, go to Sheets, get our average cup of coffee, come back home.
Wait, it's bad enough I have to drive out to Coriopolis for the Pittsburgh International Airport.
Listen, adding a little bit, we've talked about this, adding a little red to the uniform isn't going to hurt anybody. I like that. I'm a big proponent of adding just hints of red. It looks sick when O'Neal wears the sleeve and the arm guards and the shin guard in red. But, you know, I've never been a fan of the patches on the jersey. It is what it is. Sheets is fine. it doesn't look terrible. It's small. It could be a lot larger, but that happened. Maybe that helps bring in some free agents, Scott. I don't know.
Possibly. Hey, cash considerations and sheets. It's all going to add up, man.
Match made in heaven. Let's get into it, Scott. I'll kick us off here. Monday was the start of a huge series. The way that the schedule works out this year, you don't play division rivals back to back to back like you used to. But this is the first time they played the Reds this year at home with a close NL Central. And it was Skeens Day, and it did not disappoint. Six innings pitched, six hits, one earned, one walk, seven Ks. He had a 2.29 ERA and 18 whiffs, Scott. 18 whiffs. The Buccos took this one 4-1. He looked good. They jumped on him a little bit early with the fastball. And then he just made an adjustment right away. He threw the curveball 18 times, and he threw five different pitches. Usually doesn't go to the curveball. Said, you know what? If you're going to hunt fastball, we're going to mix it up even more. That's big league stuff right there. And, of course, he was dominant. You know what? Chapman, Holderman, Bednar, you had that three-headed monster come in. They shut the door. Bednar got his 15th save, and then Reynolds continued his hit streak with two doubles and an RBI. Tellez had two doubles, eight hits total, 2-for-7 with runners in scoring position, six left on base, seven Ks, one walk. And the only other note I have on this game is we gave away an O'Neill Cruz baseball to our man Chuck. So shout out, Chuck.
Oh, yeah. Chuck is the man. I also want to make a note that Skeens used the term big on big one time when Shohei hit a home run on him. It was big on big when he picked off Ellie De La Cruz at first base. That's pretty cool.
So incredible. Yeah, his move is electric.
Yeah. Let's move on to Tuesday. We suffered a close one, 2-1 loss versus the Reds. Bailey Falter, seven innings pitched, seven hits, two earned runs, two walks, three Ks. Marjinski came in. He's been pretty solid as of late. One inning pitch, one hit. His ERA is down to 4.42. And Santana also came in for an inning, gave up a hit, and struck out a guy. Brian Hayes was our sole run of this game. He had a solo shot in the seventh off of Nick Lodolo. It's the most life I've seen from Key in quite some time. So that was good to see, but we needed a lot more than that, or a little bit more than that, I should say, because the Reds scored two runs to our one. Reynolds stayed hot. He was 2-for-4 with a double. He's just been electric. He's what, at a 20 game hit streak as of today. Yeah. So he continued to ride the hot hand there. Four hits total in this game, 0-for-1 with runners in scoring position, four left on base, nine Ks. Not a lot of guys got on. That's the story of the game, and can't move runners when they don't get on.
No, Reynolds has kind of been the whole offense, right? And he almost put us ahead in the eighth inning, I believe. He got robbed by Stuart Fairchild at the ball, hit an absolute rocket. And you know what, Kutch, whether it's the right decision or not, I personally think you do not just advance on that one out, got doubled up. That was really their only other opportunity. But another interesting thing here, Scott, Swinski pinch hit for Joe in the ninth. Now that was a talk around Twitter and in the Pirates world. Why not Tellez there, right? Because then you're looking at the defensive replacement as well if you do end up tying the game.
That made no sense to me. And that's another one of Shelton's questionable decisions he's made this week in a winnable game. I don't really understand the reason for pinch hitting Jack Sawinski. If he was the hot hand, I don't care position wise, we'd figure it out the next inning. You put the best bat up there, but like it actually worked out where Rowdy was probably the best option to go to in that situation. What did I just say that? Unbelievable. Incredible. Yeah. And they went with Sawinski, who's been ice cold. So frustrating, man. It's so frustrating. Not saying that Rowdy would have gone up there and gotten, you know, done anything either, but like, just doesn't, it's a decision that is clearly, it doesn't make sense to anyone who's watching. So
no, really, really frustrating. Definitely a winnable game, but they came back the next day on Mitch Keller Day and they were able to finish the series. But this was a pitching matchup, Scotty. It really was, because Hunter Green was also dominant on the other end. I know he's been shaky through his career. He has his ups and downs, but he had 17 whiffs on the day to match Mitch Keller's seven innings, two hits, zero earned runs, two walks, seven Ks, and nine whiffs. The Buccos took this 1-0. That's all they needed. Colin Holderman came in, did his thing. Bednar shut it out for a 16th straight save. Only three hits on the day. He had a rowdy double in the seventh that he pimped. and it did not get out of the park, and he almost got thrown out at second. Didn't score that inning, and then you had a Grandal double, and still nothing. Reynolds go-ahead home run in the eighth. So he extended his hit streak there. And then the team, 11 Ks, one walk, zero for three runners in scoring position, five left on base. Again, this was a big on big in a pitching duel, because at any moment, you know, this game could have gotten out of hand, and these two just kept their composure. And I can't say enough about Mitch, man. This is what, 46 starts in a row of five innings or more, man, pitched.
He's a workhorse.
And he's just getting it done. Before, it was like, yeah, he'll go five or more innings, but he's going to throw over 100 something pitches. He's going to walk a ton of guys. He's not going to be efficient, but he's giving you every single chance to win ball games, especially when you have Hunter Green on the other end and he's not giving up anything. 1-0 Buccos win. I'll take it. And they took the series.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny looking at the three games this series. I mean, eight hits on Monday, fine, but four hits on Tuesday, three hits on Wednesday. Like, you don't win many games with that type of stat sheet, but it was just a pitching duel. And for me, those are fun to watch. I know a lot of people don't really enjoy pitching duels, but it was definitely a good one, especially with how good Mitch has been consistently over the last month or so. Let's move on to Friday. So they had Thursday off. Friday, the Rays come into town. And, you know, we decided that bullpen games don't count when we say so. So
right,
this one, we're saying it doesn't count.
Mulligan.
They lost 10-3. That's why we're saying it doesn't count. Majinski opened. He went 1 2/3, four hits, one earned run. Ortiz, not his best outing. He was our pitcher of the week last week. Four innings pitched, 10 hits, six earned runs, one walk, three Ks. He gave up two home runs. Fleming pitched, got a third of an inning. And then Dalton Jeffries debuted in Pittsburgh with three innings pitched, three hits, three earned runs, and a K. Not the best outing there for Mr. Jeffries. Reynolds homered again, though. He's at 11. And Swinski had a double and an RBI, but that's pretty much all that happened offensively. It was five hits total, two for five with runners in scoring position, five left on base, six Ks. Just an ugly, ugly game all around. They lost me pretty early in this one, I have to admit.
Not great. The Reynolds home run was kind of in garbage time, right?
Yep.
And I'll say maybe the pitcher of the week got to Ortiz's head, because it was not pretty. And again, it's a bullpen game. These don't count because we said so. But hopefully this is coming to an end. The lack of depth, as our friend Andrew Destin has said on the pod, has been a huge issue for the Buccos. And this is kind of a prime example of every 5 days trying to trot this out and seeing if it works. And it just doesn't work. It's not sustainable in the long run. But let's go to Saturday, because it was Jared Jones Day, 4-3 Pirates. This was an awesome day, a long day. Had the NS9 tailgate. Got to meet a ton of people wearing our Skeens Jones 2024 shirts. Shout out to Baseball Dugout. Use our code BB412 at baseballdugout.com to get your Skeens Jones shirts 10% off. That being said, Jared Jones was electric. Seven innings pitched, three hits, two earned, three walks, eight Ks. He had a 3.66 ERA, 14 whiffs. And this is after a first inning where he hit two batters and then
I thought Med Rosario died for a second, but
he hit Med Rosario right in the face. It was a scary scene. And there was a couple of pass balls. It did not look good. And he just settled in. That's big league stuff. Had a really nice pickoff move to get a guy at first base. So him and Skeens, they've been controlling runners on the bags. Skeens has always been really good at it. I'm starting to see Jones pick up at it a little bit more. And then he struck out the next guy. And right from there, it was just kind of like a, let's turn this thing around. And then he went seven. Holderman came in, did his thing. He had a 6.8 ERA, one inning pitch, one hit, one walk, one K. Chapman then closed it out because Bednar went to the IL for 15 days. The corresponding move was Justin Brule. I believe that's right. Scott, is it?
Correct.
And so Chapman might be our closer for the next couple of weeks. So
scary thought.
Buckle up, folks, because he is going to give you a heart attack. One inning pitch, one hit, one earned, one walk, one K. Super Chapman line, but it got the job done. Kutch hit his first triple in 38 years, something like that. And then Reynolds continued his hit streak at 19 with an RBI. Cruz hit the furthest ball I've ever seen in person, went into the Allegheny on a fly, 445 feet, 111.6 miles per hour. Off the bat, it was glorious. I wish he could do that more often. As a team, 8 Ks, 1 walk, 2 for 3 runners in scoring position, 2 left on base. This game was super hot. I'm glad they were able to grind this one out. Again, 4-3 Buccos, and that took us to Sunday.
All righty, on to Sunday. Adam, we were there today, and it was not as hot, luckily. It got hot at the end there, but it was a little bit windy. Suffered a 3-1 loss to the Rays today, where we thought we complained about it a little bit at the beginning here, but looked like a good win for us. We should have walked away with a win here. Paul Skeens on the hill. He went 7 innings pitched, 6 hits, 1 earned run, 1 walk, 8 Ks. That 1 earned run was first pitch home run, Little League BS home run off the bottom of the foul pole by Yandy Diaz. His ERA is down to 2.14. He has 13 whiffs this game. Colin Holderman came in, threw an inning, 3 hits, 2 earned runs, 1 walk, 1K. His ERA is now over 1. It's at 1.30. So he's no longer going to be the NL MVP. Sorry, Colin. And Kyle Nicholas threw an inning and 1K. His ERA has gone down to 5.14. Frustrating start to waste from Paul Skeens. Seems to be the narrative here. We're wasting quality starts left and right, which is not a good, it's never a good omen, I guess, or it doesn't usually lead to good luck in the rest of the season. I'll just put it that way. Reynolds went 2 for 3, hit another home run, his 12th on the year, had an RBI, and the only other hit was an Ollie single. Only 3 hits, 0 for 3 with runners in scoring position, 5 left on base, 5 Ks. Struggled against a struggling pitcher mightily and couldn't get anything going. Very frustrating game. I want to wash my eyes out with soap after watching them hit today.
Saval has a 6-plus ERA going
in. 6.58 or something like that, yeah.
Again, the bottom of the lineup was Triolo, Sawinski, Grandal, Taylor. And that's Oliveras before that as well. I don't know how much longer you can make these types of decisions. And again, I'm repeating myself and beating a dead horse, but you can't tell me that you're trying to win this year and then do this.
Yeah.
On rubber match days.
Yep.
When you're trying to win series, it's not okay just to drop series now. It's not. And we try and stay positive, and we always try and look at the glass half full here, because the Pirates do have talent. And as you could see, the pitching staff is great. And there are a couple of guys in the lineup that are consistent, but hitting has been the issue since like week 3. Right? So we're almost at the All-Star break and nothing has changed. Besides a Nick Gonzalez call-up, which was beneficial to the team and it got things going for a little bit, there's not really a future in sight unless they go and make a move, and that needs to happen soon, or they are just going to ride this into the end of the season, just kind of hovering around 500. I'm sick of it.
Agreed. I'm sick of it too, man. And, it just makes too much sense with this lineup and the lack of upper level depth, position player wise, to get someone young and controllable. You're not going to go out and get a rental. You're not going to get a big name that's a rental. You want to get a guy that's controllable for a few years. It just makes too much sense. And by sitting here and doing, I don't care if it's June 23rd or if it's July 31st, you need to make a move now. You really do. And I know it's usually guys wait, usually maybe one trade in June and then things happen into July, but by that time it might be too late. So just my 2 cents.
We'll see if this is the same old Pirates, right?
Yeah.
Because they have an opportunity here to close in on this window and win some ball games. But if they're just going to hoard these prospects down on the farm and just kind of weigh them out, it's going to be a while before we win. I'll say this. It was floated that JJ Blade could be a trade option. And I think the ask would be Sawinski and Peguero. That's a no-brainer. That helps your center field spot. It gives you a lefty bat. You're not using Peguero. I think you know what you got there. And Sawinski is what he is. let's I think everyone's jumped off that train a little bit on, yeah, he has talent, let's wait it out. There's no adjustments being made. He's striking out too much. His defense has regressed. He's not an answer. Any way you cut it, send him away. Maybe a change of scenery would be good. I think the A's would actually be a good fit for Sawinski.
Is he going to be the next Brandon Moss?
Right, right. Do that trade yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
And try and switch something up because it's not working, man.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. I know Bob Nutting had a few words in a press conference this week and sound like he wanted to move forward. And, you know, he kind of put the pressure on Ben. So let's see how much you meant by your words, Bob. Let's see if we make something happen here sooner rather than later.
All right. I don't want to talk about this anymore. I'm still bummed out from today. I don't know if it's because of the Pirates or I'm about to have a heat stroke, but let's take a break there and then see what's happening down on the farm.
Let's do it.
Scott, really proud to announce our newest partnership with Mattress Queen, a mattress company that has all different types of mattresses and sleep accessories like pillows, sheets, adjustable bases, and more. The best part about Mattress Queen, man, is the amount of options that you have. Everybody sleeps different. Everyone's unique. One person might like one thing, another person likes another. They got you covered. Everything from a twin to a California king. You can't go wrong. There's something there for you.
Absolutely. I'm really excited about this partnership, Adam, with Mattress Queen. I want to say, really recommend the Sedona Elite myself. I love all the options that you have. For me, I sleep cooler. I like to have the cooling feature in my mattress, and the Sedona Elite provides that. It's quick and easy, comes rolled up right to your door, ready to use that night.
Yeah, and guess what, Scott? If you don't like it, test it out for 120 days. You could send it back, money back guaranteed. So no harm, no foul. You could find something for you. Like we said, there's a ton of options. Maybe something doesn't work for you. You send it back, you get another one. But the best part is, with our partnership with Mattress Queen, you enter BUCCO25. At checkout. That's BUCCO 25 at checkout. You get 25% off the entire site.
Can't miss deal.
Pretty great deal. So, Scott, where can you find all these great deals at?
Yeah, visit Mattress Queen at www.mattressqn.com.
Mattress Queen, when you want to sleep like royalty.
Welcome back, Adam. We got some minor league recaps to go through. We're going to start our Down on the Farm segment. First, as always, we start with the Indianapolis Indians. They were home this week against the Iowa Cubs, AAA affiliate for the Cubs, obviously. And on Tuesday, started with Domingo Germán on the mound. He went 6 innings pitch, 4 hits, 2 earned runs, 3 walks, 5 Ks. Peggy also went 4 for 4 at the plate with 2 stolen bases. While Matt Gorski hit his 14th home run of the season. On Wednesday, Braxton Ashcraft continued to pitch well, 4 1/3, 3 hits, 0 earned runs, 3 walks, 4 Ks. His ERA is at 0.87 in AAA this year with 2 starts. Brent Honeywell also earned his 2nd straight save this week. It looks like he's in the closer role there. He's on 6 on the year, starting to pitch a lot better. Maybe a name that comes up for depth, we'll see. On Thursday, Jake Woodford went 6 innings pitch, 4 hits, 1 earned run, 6 Ks. He's a guy that was acquired by the White Sox recently. And then on Friday, Luis Sessa went 5 innings pitch, 3 hits, 2 earned runs, 1 walk, 5 Ks. His ERA is at 3.99. Joey Bart, first game in AAA, went 2 for 3 with a double and 3 RBIs. Hope to see him up here soon. Saturday, Martin Perez made a start in AAA, a guy, like you said before, is going to come up and hopefully put an end to the bullpen games. 5 innings pitch, 5 hits, 1 earned run, 4 Ks, while Malcolm Nunez hit his 7th home run on the season. And then today, Domingo Germán took the mound again. He went 5 innings pitched, 1 hit, 1 earned run, 4 walks, though, and 7 Ks. That's it for the Indianapolis Indians. What's happening down in Altoona?
They were at the Bowie BayHawks. That's the Orioles AA team. Charles McAdoo, as we mentioned earlier, got promoted, and he wasted no time, man. 3 for 9, 3 runs, a double, 2-run home run. He's hit 2 home runs. Three RBIs, one walk, and only one strikeout. And then Wednesday, Drake Fellows took the mound, two thirds of an inning, three hits, two earned, two walks. He has a 2.38 ERA. Eddie Yean had his sixth hold of the year, two innings pitched, two Ks with a 2.58 ERA. And then Sammy Siani, former first round pick, went 3 for 5 with a home run. That's his third, and two RBIs. He's starting to pick it up, Scott.
Yep.
It's nice to see get a little production out of
him. He's older too. So it's like, hey, yeah. What are you going to waste him in altitude? Like, he could move quickly if we needed to.
Yeah. There's not much depth at any level. So get him up to Indianapolis. Thursday, Kervin Petrardo, who we acquired earlier in the year, 4 for 5 with the home run. That's his fifth on the year, three RBIs. He has a 2.66 batting average. And then Friday was Bubba Chandler Day. And man, this might be his best outing of the entire year. Seven innings pitched, two hits, zero earned runs, one walk, 10 strikeouts. Bubba Chandler is the real deal. You talk about trade packages and people wanting him. I think he's, unless it's some insane trade, he's hands off, right? I'd say he's
untouchable.
He's untouchable. Saturday, Charles McAdoo, this is where he made his debut. 2 for 4 with a double and a home run, two RBIs. And then Thomas Harrington, who we've talked about a ton on the pod, had a pretty decent outing, six innings pitch, five hits, two earned, one walk, three Ks. And Eddie Yean with two innings pitch, no hits, three Ks. Sunday, which we are recording today, McAdoo hit another home run. So the hot bat continues. And then Jace Bowen went 3 for 4 with a double. Scott, that'll bring us to High A Greensboro.
Yeah, Greensboro was home this weekend against the Hudson Valley Renegades, the single-A affiliate for the New York Yankees. Tuesday, Patrick Riley was on the mound. He went six innings, pitched three hits, no earned runs, and 10 Ks. Lowered his ERA to 3.81. Big game for Patrick Riley. Hudson Head hit his eighth homer of the year. And on Wednesday, Tamar Johnson crushed his sixth homer of the year. This week, he went 5 for 20 with four runs, two homers, four RBIs, two walks, eight Ks, and a stolen base. His average is up to 2.22. Thursday, Dominic Paracci, not a name that many people are familiar with. He went six innings pitched, one hit, no earned runs, no walks, seven Ks. He has a 1.99 ERA this year. The reason I bring up, because he's an interesting prospect. He's a 2022 11th round pick from Salve Regina. Salve Regina is a school that I played against when I was at WNJ. They're a D3 school in Rhode Island. They're up in Newport. Really cool campus. Didn't know that they had a guy that was drafted, especially even by the Pirates. So that's really cool. He's a left-handed pitcher. Don't really know much about him, but impressive outing here on Thursday. Nick Cimillo, we've talked about him a lot. His numbers in Greensboro this year are unreal. He's hitting like over .315. He went 2 for 3 this game, had two home runs. He's at 12 on the year and two RBIs. On Friday, Tamar Johnson homered again. That was his seventh, and Derek Diamond took the hill. He went five innings pitched, six hits, three earned runs, zero walks, eight Ks. And then Saturday, we had Hunter Barco. He went four innings pitched, one hit, no earned runs, seven Ks. His ERA is at 3.46, and Hunter Barco continues to impress this year. And then today, Patrick Riley, not as good as his start at the beginning of the week. He went 3 2/3, four hits, three earned runs, no walks, five Ks. I like to see the no walks for Patrick Riley because that's definitely a big part of his development. But that's it for Greensboro. What's happening down in Bradenton?
They reversed the Lakeland Flying Tigers. The Tigers low A team. Tuesday was Antoine Kelly Day. 5 2/3, four hits, no earned, one walk, five Ks. Shaylin Polanco goes yard, 2 for 4. Only a 1.66 batting average, but the power seems to be slowly increasing there. And then Valdez hit number 9. He has a 2.32 batting average. Wednesday, Carlson Reed, 5 1/3, six hits, three earned, three walks, four Ks. He still has a 2.29 ERA, not his best outing, but he continues to look solid. And then Axial Applause, 1 for 3 with a home run. That's his 6 on the year. Christian Curtis, our minor league player of the week last week, 4 2/3, seven hits, four earned, one walk, seven Ks, seven strikeouts, man, and 4 2/3. So he's continuing to impress. I like that. You know, it's not as flashy as last week's outing, but the seven strikeouts stands out to me, and only one walk. Right. So love what I'm seeing there. And then Kiner Delgado, who they acquired earlier in the year, 3-for-5 with a double. He is hitting .252. Sunday, we had a Mike Burrows rehab start, Scott. 1 2/3, 1 hit, 1 earned, 2 walks. No strikeouts on 34 pitches. Love to see that Mike Burrows is back. Interesting where we'll see him end this year, if he'll be a contributor, if there's any setbacks. But this has been a prospect that we've had our eyes on for a long time that really hasn't been able to break through. And fingers crossed, either this year he gets closer to that goal, or he's able to help the club.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, definitely a name we're keeping our eyes on. Hopefully someone that can come up in the pen at least this year and help out. So, alrighty. So that brings us to our minor league player of the week. I had a lot of good options this week, but we are going to go with Bubba Chandler. Bubba had a big week, probably his best game this year, at Bowie against the Bay Sox. He went 7 innings pitched, 2 hits, no earned runs, 1 walk and 10 Ks. You know, we hit a setback about a month ago. Everyone was kind of freaking out. But he came back pretty quickly, and he's pitched well since. So shout out Bubba Chandler. He's very important to this organization.
He really is. Let's get out of here, Scott, with some closing remarks.
Let's do it.
Scott, let's get out of here with our pitcher and hitter of the week. Pitcher of the week should not be a surprise. There was some decent outings, but Paul Skeens was unbelievable in 2 starts. On Monday against the Reds, 6 innings pitched, 6 hits, 1 earned, 1 walked, 7 Ks with 18 whiffs. And then again on Sunday, you might as well just copy and paste the same line. 7 innings pitched, 6 hits, 1 earned, 1 walk, 8 Ks, 13 whiffs. He's got a .214 ERA. He gives you a chance every single time to win out there. This is not going to be the last time he's pitcher of the week. I wouldn't be surprised if it's next week, and then the next week, and then the next week. Yeah. He is that good, and he gives this chance, this team a chance to win even with a poor lineup. So Paul Skeens is our pitcher of the week.
Yeah, he's. I definitely expect to see many more weeks with him at the top. But that brings us to our hitter of the week, which is going to be no surprise to everyone listening. Literally the lifeblood of the offense this whole week, Brian Reynolds, riding a 20-game hit streak. The last 7 games, he's 10 for 25. That's .400. He's got 6 runs, 3 homers, 5 RBIs. I know he has a lot of doubles. He has his slash line is .400, .483, and .880. So, big week for Brian Reynolds. It'd be nice if there were some bats working around him, but, you know, he's been the lifeblood of the offense, and hopefully he carries us into Cincinnati and Atlanta this, coming week.
Yeah. Another big week, right? You've already played Atlanta once, and you played them well just a couple of weeks ago, but you have another division matchup against a team that you just played at home. If the last one wasn't, you know, uber important, this is just, I mean, I'm not going to say it's just like a do or die series, but they have to win this series, man. We cannot afford to drop any more series, especially to NL Central teams and how tight this division is. So going back to Cincinnati as quick as the schedule has them going back is crucial to this team's success moving forward. And we are happy to cover it along the way. If you don't follow us already, Bucko Banner on Instagram and Bucko Banner Pod on Twitter. Give us a follow. You could stream our podcast every Sunday on your favorite streaming platform. Have an exciting interview this week too, Scott.
Yeah.
Chances are by the time you're listening to this, we have completed that interview and it will be out for you probably on Tuesday or Wednesday of this week. We're pumped about that. We had a lot of good content this week at the park that we're going to be putting out there. Got a new camera, trying to upgrade the quality for everybody so you can enjoy our videos to the fullest. But we are excited what the future has to hold for Bucko Banner and hopefully for this Pirates team.
Yeah, I second that. I'm really excited about this interview and for the coming weeks because we've got some good stuff coming up. So, you know, continue listening. Send us some questions, some topics you want us to cover, and we'll tackle it.
Till then, let's raise it.
Raise it.
Intro music by Jordan Montgomery, CEO of Driving While Black Records. The song is Arnold Palmer off his latest album, Prime Real Estate.
Rockin' 101, shit, she compliment my taste. Whiskey in my lemonade, cause I like the way it tastes. Best seats at the Pirates game, they let me run the base. Yeah, my time is like my money, cause I can't afford to waste. Wifey is a lawyer, take my date to my dates. Order steak by the plates, and then case after case. Run my race at my pace, clear the grass of the snake.